And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm going to respond to a listener who sent me an email, a very nice email, but I can tell that within the body of the email, the listener has a little bit of frustration. So what I'm going to do is I will address their concerns on today's radio show, and maybe it'll be, you know, the talking point that we use that gets us through the rest of the show. Does that sound cool? Okay, let's do the email. Hi, Al. I do listen to your show. I find one very important topic which you never discuss. How do you ensure people pay the rent? He's concerned because it appears he has residents in his properties that are not paying him rent like they're supposed to. I'll go back to the email. I've experienced on all of my properties that people are, and he uses kind of a naughty word. I mean, it's not really a nasty word, but it's a derogatory word. So I don't want to use that word on the show because I don't view the people that live in my properties as the derogatory term that this person is using. So I'm not going to use the term, but here's his biggest concern. I've experienced on all my properties that people are blank and do not pay rent, and I look like a bad guy. Even though I busted my, it's a synonym for donkey, fixing the houses so people can move into a clean home. It takes years because the resident is trying to stretch it out as long as possible to get them out. Here it is. This is the crux right here. And all of you Lifestyles Unlimited members, as soon as I say the next line, the red lights are going to go off in your mind. You're going to know exactly what the problem is. For you non-Lifestyles Unlimited members, here comes the problem. I deal with Philadelphia. So the resident is protected, but the city wants water and school taxes from me, regardless if the resident is paying. Eventually, I sold all four of my properties with a loss and lots of aggravation. Lots of exclamation points after the aggravation part. If I had to pay a contractor to do the repairs, forget it. I would be bankrupt. All right. The guy says a lot. There's a lot of frustration in his tone. He's obviously upset because, well, the email came in all caps. Isn't that the equivalent of shouting at somebody in a written form if you do it all in caps? Okay, so he's frustrated. He's tired of the results that he's been getting, and he's looking for answers. I don't think this listener has given up on real estate investing. I think what's coming through is that they're just frustrated with the results that they've achieved. Now, I emailed this person back, and I was very kind and gentle because I understand the frustration. I'm not here to beat on the guy. I'm not here to write him back an email that says, well, sounds like you're pretty upset. Sounds like you're pretty angry. Why are you taking it out on me? That's not what I said. What I said was, well, actually, dear, and I'm not going to use this person's name because I do not want to embarrass this person. But at the end of the day, I said, look, I do cover this on the show. One of the things that we talk about on the show is something called resident screening. When you screen your residents correctly, it gives you the opportunity to select from the best possible pool of people. And when you create your rental selection criteria and you apply it to everybody equally, you're in compliance with fair housing laws and you're being very selective. You're looking at things like criminal background. You're looking at things like credit background. You're looking at things like, do they have a stable job? Can they produce for you 2 months worth of paycheck receipts? Can they do that? If they can't do any of those things, maybe they shouldn't be in business with you. Because here's the point I want to make. Rental income producing real estate is a business. It is a business. A single family house, you may think, well, it's just a rental house. No, that is a business unit. That is something that creates income for your family. That is something that creates tax advantages for your family. That is something that allows you to participate in a variety of different equity growths for your family. That is a business unit. You go out and you buy a fourplex, what'd you just buy? Some of you are saying, well, I bought a fourplex. No. Business unit. You bought a business unit. You bought something that you're putting into your portfolio, and you bought it because it has a specific goal, a specific objective, a specific thing that is going to do for you and your family. It is a business unit. What about a 50-unit apartment community? Well, you just bought a 50-unit apartment community, right? No, you bought a business unit. You bought a business unit. You bought the business unit, you put it in your portfolio, and now that portfolio is doing what that portfolio is designed to do for you and your family. Here's the other problem. This person is investing in a place that I would not invest in. He flat out says that he lives in an area that is resident protected. Use the term tenant interchangeably with resident, and what you're going to find is that in Philadelphia, they have a lot of tenant protections in place. What I'm getting at is real estate investing works very well in certain places, and it doesn't work so well in other places. So what I want to talk about on today's show is I want to talk about the different places that you can invest your money. There are many places out there across the United States of America that are deemed landlord friendly and landlord non-friendly. What does that mean? Landlord friendly and landlord non-friendly. Well, it simply means this. There are places in the United States of America where you should invest. There are places in the United States of America that you should avoid. So what does that mean? Well, my email that I received over the weekend indicated to me that the listener was investing in a place that's not landlord friendly. As a matter of fact, some of the complaints that he had were based on the fact that there's a municipality that is favoring one group of people over another group of people. Now, in a landlord friendly state, one group of people is favored over another group of people, right? So which is fair? Which is fair? Is it fair for the landlord to have the upper hand? Or is it fair for the resident to have the upper hand? Now, in Al's perfect world, in my perfect world, nobody has an upper hand. No, nobody has an upper hand. As a matter of fact, everybody plays nice. Everybody does exactly what they're supposed to do. Landlords provide clean, functional workforce housing. They take care of the asset. They do repairs when necessary. Residents take care of the property that they're living in. They don't beat it up, and they pay their rent on time. That, to me, is a perfect business relationship. But that business relationship gets morphed. It gets blown out of context because in certain municipalities across the United States of America, there is a desire to give residents more support or more control or more favoritism, or just to make the ordinances that get passed or the laws that get passed for that city more favorable to residents than they are to landlords. So what am I getting at? Well, the worst or the least friendly municipalities in the United States tend to have stringent regulations. They have extensive tenant protections, and they have policies like rent control that limit landlords' flexibility in managing their properties. So basically what they're doing is they're tying my hands. They're telling me what I can and cannot do, and they're giving certain rights, certain responsibilities, certain controls over to the resident in the transaction. Now, these locations often have long eviction processes. They have significant restrictions on raising rents, and they have numerous legal requirements that favor the residents. So where are these places at? Well, there's one place in the United States of America. It's on the, I'll call it the left coast of the United States of America, because this state is on the left coast. I mean, if you look at the map of the United States of America, there are states on the right side, there are states on the left side. This state is on the far left side of the United States of America. Now, they're very far left when it comes to political leaning. It's just the way that state is. And I'm talking about the great state of California. What kind of cities in the great state of California would favor residents over landlords? Well, cities like Los Angeles or San Francisco. And what do they do? What do these cities do that allows the resident to have a more favorable condition than the landlord? Well, one of the things they do is something called rent control and rent stabilization. And in California, the majority of the cities there, including Los Angeles and San Francisco, have passed rent control ordinances. Now, these laws significantly limit how much landlords can raise rent on existing residents, sometimes restricting increases to a small percentage each year, which is often tied to inflation. So basically what rent control does is it takes the market mechanism out of pricing for your property. It basically says that you can only raise your rents based on what the government says is a cost of living increase. Is that a place you want to do business? And I would tell you no. What about evictions? Evictions are when you have to, I mean, you've tried everything you can do to do business with the person you've been doing business with that's been living in your property, but they have chosen to not honor the tenants of their lease. They've chosen not to pay either on time or pay at all. And as a result of that, you may have to start the eviction process, which allows you to remove that person from your property using legal controls, legal mechanisms to get it done. Now, evictions can be very time consuming and they can be complicated. Residents in states like California have numerous rights, and landlords must navigate many legal hurdles to evict them, even if it's for non-payment. Even if they've been sitting in your property for 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, and they haven't been paying. California, they have a law. They have an eviction law that they call Just Cause. Sounds kind of catchy, doesn't it? California's Just Cause eviction law. What it does is it requires landlords have a legally valid reason to evict tenants. To me, a breach of the lease, a breach of a document, which is a legal document, to me is reason to evict somebody. But in California, apparently, when you have a legal document like a lease, maybe that doesn't matter so much, because what matters so much is how the people of California feel about how those leases are enacted. Kind of weird, huh? What about tenants' rights? Man, in California, tenants have strong rights. Tenants, now get this. Tenants, or as I prefer to call them, residents, can sue for damages if landlords do not provide adequate living conditions, and the state imposes high penalties for failing to return security deposits in a timely manner. Tenants' rights. We come back from the break. More on where you should invest. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Del Wamsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
We purchased for $8.275, and it's worth $19 million now.
Wait, whoa. That is incredible. I can see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007 for a $297 membership. Save $443 off the regular price. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. When we went to break, I was telling you about how California is very pro-resident. Not pro-landlord, but very pro-resident. They have a series of different ordinances that have been passed by the municipalities across the state, which gives residents more control over the leasing and renting process than landlords have. And I think it's a problem. Personally, I think it's a big problem. First of all, they have rent control and rent stabilization. So what they've done is they've taken the market forces out of what a property can do with regards to valuation growth. So essentially, what California has said is that your property rents can go up no more than inflation. Even though California, it was at one time, a very desirable place to go to and live, because there's a lot of beautiful places in California. There's some beautiful weather. There's some great beaches. California's got a lot of good things going for it, but it's got a political environment, which is a very one-sided political environment. That political environment makes it a little bit difficult for us as landlords to operate correctly. So do I invest in California? And the answer is no, I don't. Because of the rent control, because of the rent stabilization, because of the eviction process, because of the resident rights. Now, there's more. There's more. California has passed more stuff to give favor to the residents. In addition to rent control, California has an anti-price gouging law that can prevent rent increases above a certain threshold, especially after emergencies like natural disasters. So what they're saying is, you are not allowed to raise the price of your rents overnight to a much higher level based on supply and demand because, well, we didn't clear the forests in California and, well, California's on fire. California's burning. Yeah, that's just the way it is. Okay, so I think actually, in fairness, I think there is the anti-gouging law. I think it's in place for the right reasons, but I think it's applied incorrectly. That's the way I look at it. Now, here's some other things California has done. They've had some recent changes to State Bill 91 and Assembly Bill 1482. What does that mean? It means during the COVID-19 pandemic, California implemented eviction moratoriums. And the recently enacted Assembly Bill 1482 caps rent increases statewide at 5% plus inflation, or a maximum of 10% per year. Folks, they are manipulating the market. They are using governmental controls to manipulate the market. Now, one of the things I haven't brought up is that insurance prices have gone through the roof in California. Property taxes, very expensive in California. Is there anything in any of this documentation that I have read to you that indicates that California is going to do something to control high real estate taxes and high real estate insurance rates? Let me look through here. Let me see. Nope. It's not here. So they're not doing anything to help us as the landlords. Everything they're doing is to help the resident. All right, let's switch gears. What about New York? Let's go to the right coast. I mean, New York technically has a little bit of coastline, I think. I don't know. My geography is not great. If you want to send me an email at askal@luinc.com and let me know whether or not New York has coastline or not, I'd appreciate it. All right. New York, they have rent control. They have rent stabilization. New York City is famous for its rent controlled and rent stabilized apartments. Rent stabilized units fall under strict guidelines that dictate how much landlords can raise rent each year, which often results in rates well below market levels. Rent control is even more stringent, with some residents paying rents set decades ago. Decades ago. So you think about it. You've got a resident that's been living in your apartment building for 2 decades or 3 decades, and their rent hasn't changed. Now, that's good for them because they're on a fixed income, right? But here's the point. That unit doesn't provide enough money to cover the associated expenses of owning and operating the apartment community. It makes me wonder what the landlord is willing to do for that resident if something breaks. Maybe they have a an arrangement where if something breaks, the landlord does nothing. The resident has to do all the repairs. And maybe the resident doesn't have any money. Maybe that's part of the problem. They're living in a rent-controlled place because they're tapped out on their money. They can't afford anything more. They don't want to move out of New York because they call that home. But the landlord is having a problem with his or her building and that unit in particular, because if they put the responsibility on repairing stuff onto the tenant, do you think the tenant is really going to do what they need to do to bring that unit up to the standard that the landlord has? I think not. I think that's part of the problem that goes on in New York. Another problem with New York is the eviction process. Evictions in New York, especially New York City, are lengthy and expensive. The court process, very slow. And residents have many opportunities to delay or stop the eviction. The legal system tends to favor residents in disputes over rent payments and lease violations. Mr. Tenant, you owe me rent for this month and last month. Mr. Landlord, I don't care. That's not good. Mr. Resident, you've been playing your music too late at night. It's very loud after 10 p.m. and it's bothering the rest of the residents. I would like to have you move out of the property. Yeah, Mr. Landlord, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. The law's on my side. You can't evict me just because I got a little loud. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes on in New York. What else goes on in New York? New York has been discussing implementing something called a good cause eviction law, which would make it even harder for landlords to evict residents without significant justification. To me, if you violate the terms of the lease, you fail to pay me what we agreed that you would pay me, then the way I look at it, you don't live in my property anymore, because we want a good, healthy business relationship with that resident. We want to provide them clean, functional workforce housing. We want to provide them a place that they call home. And in exchange for that, all we ask is a couple of things. Number one, pay rent on time. It's outlined in the lease when your rent is due. It's outlined in your lease when late fees apply. We will charge you those late fees. You agreed to pay them. We will make sure that you get clean, functional workforce housing. We will make sure that if you do require a repair, we're going to get it done. That's how we operate as Lifestyles Unlimited members. Now, I know, not every landlord out there is a Lifestyles Unlimited member. It's very true. It's very true. When you look at Lifestyles Unlimited members as a subset of all of the real estate investors that are around the United States of America, we're a pretty big subset. But we're still a subset. And even though we choose to do business different than other people might want to do business, we're still a subset. But the people that are outside of our subset, they do what they want to do. They buy properties where they want to buy properties. Maybe there's a reason to buy a property in California. Maybe the equity potential for a property in California is so great that you're willing to put up with all the lousy rules that California has, all the lousy laws that California has that diminish your ability to effectively operate your real estate investment business. Now, you're wondering, have I hit the end of the list? Have we run out of locations where it's a problem for us to be real estate investors? And I'm here to tell you, no, there's still more. There are still more places in this country where you should not invest as a real estate investor. Want to know where they are? Okay, let me tell you. Illinois, specifically Chicago. Now, while Illinois does not currently have statewide rent control, Chicago has seen increasing discussion and pressure from resident advocacy groups to implement some form of rent regulation. The political environment in the city itself leans towards more resident protections. That's how they do business in Illinois. So, what's the takeaway? What are the common themes in these least landlord-friendly cities? They have rent controls. They have caps on rent increases. They have long and complicated eviction processes. The relocation assistance and good cause eviction laws are designed specifically to favor the residents, not to favor the landlords. They are designed to favor the residents. And there are strict habitability and maintenance requirements that benefit the residents that don't necessarily benefit the landlords. Now, if you're a Lifestyles Unlimited member, that last one, that one wouldn't even be a problem if we did invest in those municipalities or those states. And here's why. We have been taught to go in and remediate anything that is wrong with the investment asset. If there's something that does not have a lifespan of 5 to 7 years, we fix it or we replace it to brand new condition. So we make it like new or we make it brand new and we make sure that it has a lifespan of 5 to 7 years. Why do we do that? We do that specifically because we want to make sure that while that resident is living in the property, nothing breaks. They don't have to deal with repairs on the property just as much as we as landlords don't have to deal with repairs on the property. It makes for a very beautiful living arrangement for the resident. See, one of the things these states have not figured out is they think that all landlords are bad. They think that people like me and my 50,000 cohorts at Lifestyles Unlimited, that we're all bad people. But what they don't understand is that our business model is focused on the resident. We are focused on the resident. Now, we are focused on getting the maximum rents. Don't get me wrong with that. But we are in exchange for the maximum rents, giving them clean, functional workforce housing. We're giving them a unit that is nicer than anything else that they have looked at. We're giving them a community that's as nice as possible. I mean, we're making our multifamily communities really nice properties. I have been to many multifamily communities over the last month, and I will tell you the one thing that a Lifestyles Unlimited community has in common with all of the Lifestyles Unlimited communities is that that community is focused on the resident. That community is focused on giving that resident a great living experience. That community is designed specifically for resident satisfaction. And when residents have satisfaction, they have a nice place to live. They have a well-maintained property. They don't have to worry about stuff breaking every other day. They are enjoying something called a lifestyle. A lifestyle that they're willing to give you one-third of the money that they make in exchange for the opportunity to live in that location. Pretty cool stuff, right? I think there are some states out there that have gotten it completely wrong. I think that maybe there were some landlords in the past that got it completely wrong. But at the end of the day, one of the things that I do as a Lifestyles Unlimited member is I invest in states that are landlord-friendly. There are many, many states. There are many, many municipalities that are landlord friendly. And you're probably wondering who they are. So I'll tell you what I'll do. Let's make this a two-part show. Let's do that. Let's make this a two-part show. Today was the doom and gloom. Tomorrow is going to be the solution. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Sign up for that free workshop. Let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.